When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Guys, welcome to Knife Talk, the podcast for knife makers, knife enthusiasts, DIYers. If you're in your shop, whatever you're doing, you need somebody to take care of you, somebody to help you out. We're the guys for you. My name's Jeff Fader from Fader Knives. I'm here with Mareko Momasi, Momasi Fire Arts, and the great Craig Lockwood of Chop Knives. We're three guys who are just fooling around, and we're here to keep you company. So with that said, how is everyone?
Good.
Good. Good. Yeah. Okay. Mareko, let's start with you.
Yeah. Doing good. I've been struggling. I don't know why. I've been doing the coffee ads for fucking ever. And everyone, almost every knife, I still struggle with it. So, but I finally got a good finish on this one. Last week was sharpening week.
Could you just give, if this is somebody's first time listening to this podcast, wondering what the coffee etch is, could you give like,
oh, yeah. You make a really strong batch of instant coffee. And when I say strong, I don't mean like double what it says. I mean, like you dump the whole container into a liter or half or a quart of hot water, and then you add another quart or a liter of water, and you got your mixture.
And what does it do?
It's really strong, and it helps to etch high contrast finish on blades, on Damascus blades especially.
So, is it just the acidity, or is it staining as well? Is it doing both?
I don't think it's staining. I think there's something, there's definitely acids, various acids in it. There's tannic acids, and sometimes phosphoric acid is added. It is a bitterness additive that is used in all kinds of foods and drinks and stuff like that. But what it is exactly, I have no idea. So if anybody's a chemist out there and wants to talk about this, get a hold of me and we can figure this out and nail it down once and for all.
You're gonna get some barista dorks.
Good. I want the dorks. So I'm just trying to think. So last week was sharpening week, so I didn't actually work on the knife at all. Did a bunch of sharpening, been just kind of cruising and hanging with the kid, getting some summertime like nice weather activity shit going on. Kid's birthday is actually next week, I think. Yeah, next weekend. And so kind of getting ready for that. Otherwise, just, I don't know, hacking away. What about you, Craig? How you doing?
I'm still in Wales. Okay. And we've actually had some decent weather as well, so it's been quite nice. But we're getting ready to go camping with the kids tomorrow, with three kids, and we've never camped with all three before. Wow. So we're going down to the coast. So that should be fun. I've just been looking after the kids this week, basically. Amy's been working really hard. Right. So I've been with the kids. So, yeah, it's been, you know, day trips out and about, getting down to the beaches and all that kind of stuff. And it's so hard, right? It sounds as if like, oh, I've just got the kids. My wife's going to work.
It's a lot,
but
dude.
It is so, so tiring. I'm just, I'm just done. And so Monday, we head to the studio, me and my band, to do our second EP. So we're sort of like trying to button up these songs as well. So it's been quite stressful, really. It's been, you know, like a fair bit going on, but just tired, just really, really tired. But no, all good. I really can't complain. Yeah.
What studio are you guys going to be at?
It's a new studio. Okay. Yeah. So Nick, who's our producer, he's opening up a new studio. So we're going to be the first clients in there, actually. But it's nice. It's a nice big residential studio, quite sort of posh. So yeah, we're really looking forward to it. But we're doing four songs. We've nailed three, but then we're not quite sure what the fourth song will be. It'll be one of another three. So we're just trying to sort of wrap those up and all the rest of it and get everything ready. So when we're in, we're prepared, you know. But you know, there's four of us in the band, and there's four opinions, and you know, there's everything takes ages to make a decision. So, but it's good. It's really good. It's part of the process, and we're just really excited to be back in the studio. So it'll be good.
But we're okay. The 355s are okay. I hear the four.
Oh, no, extremely.
When you say
yeah,
the four opinions and. All of a sudden, it's like the honeymoon's not over, right?
That's not a negative thing at all. No, not at all. No, it's all very good. All good.
Yeah. It's good. I just want to make sure. All of a sudden, I hear the crack in the armor where of like,
there isn't any crack.
Solidarity.
Yeah. And I would tell you, because I mean, they don't fucking listen to this.
That's why you're the best. You were telling us some stuff about your wife because you knew she wasn't going to listen too. So we know all about it.
Exactly. Yeah. I can say what I like on this show. It's a safe space. But yeah, anyway, Jeff, what's been going on?
Speaking of which, every time something on this podcast for years, and I never learn, if something we say is funny that I think would be translatable to my wife, I always say, you got to hear this part. And then I'll play it for her, and she'll just look at me like I'm the biggest moron of all time. She was like, I said, don't you think that's funny? And she goes, no. I hear a perfect example. I went to I did some networking yesterday. My friend landlord invited me to the Best of Westchester, which is this huge event in Westchester. I was a award winner in 2000.
Is the sports jacket comes out? And
No sports jacket. I should have not for this time. It was too wrinkled. But the time I did go, I did wear a sports jacket, and I'd
is
like
this where
to
they
get...
got your name wrong. They called and kept calling.
Well,
you Joff.
They didn't get my name wrong. They got my name wrong in an art. Well, the backstory is they were reaching out to me. They gave me Best Knife in Westchester, Chef Knife in Westchester, which I immediately said, "This is horseshit," but I'll take it. You know, completely like horseshit, but I'll take it. I never for a second thought anything other than some more shit they wanted me down there. So I went down, I did it, I posed pictures, we had a good time, I had paid for the plaque. That's what you do with these fucking things. Then they wrote another article about me, they spelled my name wrong, called me George Fader, blah 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 blah. The next thing you know, I write him a message saying, you know, this little article you wrote, this 3-sentence article, every single fucking thing is wrong. I didn't say it like that, but I said it really kind of in a way that I guess rang the editor wrong, and he wrote me back basically saying, you should be lucky, you should be grateful that I wrote anything at all. So that was it for me in Westchester Magazine. I know I said it here, I don't think it matters, but I have said it enough that I said that your magazine is fit for dental office in the waiting room of a dental office in White Plains and the bottom of a parrot cage. So I am, in my opinion, I'm just like, me and Westchester Magazine, we're out, right? But this was like 2018. Yeah. So my landlord sends me a message yesterday. He's like, hey, I got some VIP tickets to the Best of Westchester event. You want to come? And I'm like, yeah, why not? So I go with him and my friends, and you know, we get the cop car takes us down. Deep cut, but I'm completely, you know, I got one foot in corruption. I got one foot in, and I'm one foot in it, and I'm dip my toe in it, and I'm just like, yeah, I understand where this comes from. So
it's like prom night for gangsters.
Well, no, but I mean, we have some special, we have some, you know, there's some, which, how should I say? There's some VIP situations with going on with what we got over here. So we were going down and the story is we went with my four friends and one of them was wearing this terrible shirt. I mean, this shirt looked like, I mean, I was just like, I can't believe you wore that shirt. I mean, it looked crazy. And the funniest part was, and it's not going to relate to you, but at the time I laughed so hard. My friend says to the other guy, where do you get that shirt from? What do you work for, Trader Joe's? It looked like a goddamn Trader Joe's shirt. And it was hilarious because it really looked like a fucking Trader Joe's. So the rest of the day we're calling him Trader Joe. So in my mind, I'm thinking, you'll see the picture. It looks hilarious. I'm relaying it to my wife. And I said, oh, you have no idea. You know, they said it looks like. And I told her the joke. And she's looking at me. She says, that's so mean. And I'm like, it was so funny. It was so funny. So I don't really tell her. I stupidly don't tell her anything anymore. Because she just thinks I'm mean. So it's just like. We went down. The only reason why I went, I thought they were going to throw me out. I went down because of for networking reasons. There was a lot of restaurant people that I know. There's a down there, and then there's also a lot of people in the Westchester area who are involved in food business, involved in content, involved in figuring out ways in which to kind of like do things together. That's the whole point of these events.
Yeah, and possible opportunities. Yeah.
I did not want to go. I wanted to go home. I wanted to go to bed. I wanted to watch the Yankees get. I'm glad I didn't watch the Yankees. Got swept by the Mets. It's such an embarrassment. But I wanted to go home and I wanted to go to bed. But at the same time, I was just like. How often do you get an opportunity like this? You know, you don't get a lot of opportunities to do networking for the business. And it was interesting because I was really thinking about it in terms of, you know, this knife business. You know, there's more and more, we're doing more and more things outside of social media. We're using social media as one finger in the glove. You know, we got the whole hand in the glove. So we're trying to figure out different things to do where, I met had a conversation with the PR company that we're working with, and things are working out well. What much better? I thought we were going to fire them, but now things are kind of starting to move around, and we're working with different chefs, and we're trying to do samples, and we're working like dogs, and it's really cool. And every so often, I'm less and less on social media just because I just don't really have fucking time. Like, I don't have time to fucking scroll around. There's too many things happening. And what was interesting was I was doing, and they're still getting messages from people about the, I'm being restricted. I'm being shadow banned. And I can't do business. And how are we supposed to do business? And I hear all these fucking complaints all the time. And it's like, at what point do we take responsibility for the fact that it's more than Instagram is not the reason why you're not doing well? I'm talking to all these food guys. Because of the heat, everyone's getting killed. All the restaurants are not doing well. A lot of restaurants are not doing well this summer. A lot of it's for the heat, whatever reason. They're not blaming situations, but they're just like, what are we going to do to make sure that our business does better? Maybe we'll change the restaurant. Maybe we'll change the decor. Maybe we'll change the menu. Maybe we need to change this. Restaurants are really, really good indicators of small business on how to change and modify in order to overcome bad situations. Does that make sense?
Yeah, completely. So they've been affected. I get it. They're not complaining about it.
Well, they're complaining, but they're not like blaming, you know, they're not like Instagram's killing me. You know, it's like, I can't do business because of Instagram. They're addressing their issues, acknowledging their issues, and they're trying to figure out how to kind of work around those issues.
Hmm.
You know, like last year, we had the year before, it rained every fucking weekend. It rained every weekend and it destroyed, but it really like crushed these restaurants that have really great outdoor seating, like by the river, like beautiful, scenic sunsets and all this stuff. And they were like, what can we do? And they tried to figure out this, they tried to figure out that. And it wasn't like, oh, we got to close. We gotta stop everything. The weather is, you know, we have to figure some. People have to be a little more resilient. And I think in the knife game, especially at the level of people starting a business on Instagram, there's a lot of like, there isn't a lot of resourcefulness. Maybe I'm wrong. Mareka, what do you think?
I mean, I think it is hard to figure out how to roll with the punches. And I think it also, you know, people stepping away from it might also indicate how much they were really actually dedicated to it. And I think we've talked about it before, but I think a lot of creative people, a lot of maker types aren't necessarily great business people. And so this is definitely a necessity for the business to adapt, to figure out how to adapt. And if your strengths really lie in the making and maybe not necessarily the business side of things, then either like what you're doing, working with a PR company or somebody along those lines that can help figure out some concepts or ideas or strategies for how to adapt and move forward. Or if you're just not really dedicated to it, then maybe, yeah, you move on or step away from it and go back to focusing on where your income actually comes from, and the knife making stays on the side somewhere. But yeah, I think it's key. I think people forget, like, Instagram wasn't really a thing, especially for business, like until like 10 years ago, maybe.
Right.
And there were all kinds of strategies and ways that people networked and did business to operate successfully without Instagram. What were they doing? Go and fucking do that.
It's true. What do you think, Craig?
Yeah. Well, I think what Mareko just said is very true, that just because you're a great maker, you know, probably means you aren't a great businessman, actually, you know, business person, because they don't generally come in hand. But there's another side to that as well, where you made the comparison to restaurants. I mean, restaurant business is generally local business or tourist business. And what that requires is a great people person there, you know, to greet people and do all that kind of stuff. Where I think you could be a great people person as a knife maker, but that doesn't really translate, because most of your business, certainly from my experience, wasn't local. It would be, you know, completely remote, as in, you know, other countries even. Well, always other countries for me. So I think that's another skill. You know, it's one thing being good at business, which, as you said, generally used to be, traditionally used to be, you know, you could press the flesh and you'd be, you know, a great at the chat. But it's a very, very, very different world now. And it's more now about perception and how you sort of put yourself out there online and what people perceive of you, because they won't know you as a person so much as if you were a local business. So yeah, that's just another challenge on top of all that. But yeah, you know, we've mentioned so many times about, you know, putting all your eggs in one basket with Instagram. But you know, you know, for bang for the buck, which is basically free, you're not going to get a better vehicle, really.
No.
You know? But that's just the way things are at the moment. And I don't know what other avenues you've got. If most of your business is coming from not the local area, you obviously need, you know, you need an online presence. And certainly for makers, Instagram seems to be that number one choice. And nothing else seems to be coming close, really. You know? Okay, you get your YouTubers, but the work they put into that. I mean, generally, I think people who are good on YouTube are YouTubers. They aren't necessarily knife makers or anything else. Their primary job is YouTuber, you know, which requires so much time and effort and skills that a lot of us don't have. So it is really difficult trying to find how do you reach people. But yeah, as I said, we always keep coming back to Instagram and the faults that it has, but it still is probably the number one platform for makers at the moment.
So two things. One is that I think about the workshops I've been doing with Florentine Kitchen Knives at Tomer. We've done it now 5 years. If you look at the trajectory of how the classes have gone, it has been a build. It's not instantaneous. Like when I first went down there, there was nobody knew who I was. Nobody came down to see me at all. And as the classes progressed, we had more people from Knife Talk, more people from Fader Knives, and now customers of mine. It took a lot of, and then even the people who took it this year had been following along back 5 years ago. Everything is a build, and that's the hardest part. But I was thinking about the TV this morning. I was walking the dog, and I was thinking about the TV show The Office. And the interesting part about The Office, you could take either one of them in this situation. What was the thing about Michael Scott or David Brent that was so, like, what was like the thing about those characters that made it so interesting? What do you guys think?
I think they were triers. They weren't necessarily good at what they did. They tried very, very hard, and they were likable, even though they did the silliest and stupidest of things. So you think, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
You're always rooting for them. You're always on their side. And it's very funny, actually. Only last night, my wife and I, we were watching this new TV show called Peacock, which is a very sort of British thing. And that's the main character is very much the same. Stupid. You wouldn't want to know them. You wouldn't be friends with them. But you're completely on their side, and you wanted things to work out for them. And I think with The Office, he was very much like that with both David Brent and Michael Scott, you know. Complete idiots, but you're rooting for them because you just want them to catch a break, you know.
Well, you're rooting for them because you're not working for them. You get to watch them. I was thinking about it. The reason why Michael Scott was so relatable is because there are so many people in the workforce who know managers like that, who are not the best, or you see people, you see what they're doing, they're showing a degree of authority, and they're fools. And they're not good at what they do. And I think that that became the most relatable thing. Like, my wife says to me forever, she used to work with this doctor. She's like, he's just like Michael Scott. He's trying to be everybody's friend and he's stupid. But it was like, it makes you realize how many people in the workforce are underqualified for the jobs they have. That's the reason why it's a believable character, because so many people have been in a position where a person in authority are morons. And it makes you realize how many jobs there are out there of people who are not qualified for the jobs they have. Bring it to the knife community. There's a lot of you guys who are awesome knife makers, but this is not for some of the stuff isn't for you. And that's okay. That's the crazy part. It's okay to know that you're not doing the best you can. You're not qualified for a job that no one really ever had before or you didn't know about before. And it's like we have to figure out ways in which to accept our defaults or our deficiencies and figure out ways in which to adjust our our approach so we can kind of like fix these deficiencies.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'd say to come back to that whole social media and also to bring the character of Michael Scott and Brent online, trying so hard to be liked. I mean, that is both of their characters. That's all they do.
Right.
They're trying so hard to be liked. And you see that so much as well on sort of social media, where people are just trying so hard. And sometimes you just think, just cool down. Just cool your jets a bit. It's all a bit much, you know? Well, and just do what you do great and just show that. Don't, try too much and all the rest of it. Sometimes it's to people's detriment when they're using, whether it's Instagram, Twitter, whatever it may be. It's just all a bit much, and it can be a bit of a turnoff as well.
So yesterday I was uploading the show notes to Full Blast, and the way I do it is I have a template of how the notes are going to look, and then I'll put the Instagram feed of the person I'm talking to on. I had Noah Vashana. However I look on the internet, and then I Google.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save. Like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Noah Vashon or Vashon Knives Instagram. So then I click on it and immediately comes up, this is restricted. This page is restricted. Unless you're under 18. And I'm like, that's weird. That's not, usually what happens. You
unless
click
you're
on
over
it,
18.
It goes... over 18, something like that. It basically says it's restricted, and this is the reason why. So I'm like, that's weird. Usually when I do it, it pop, you know, you click on it, it pops right up to their, you know, their home screen, and then it's their whole thing, and then I copy the thing. Right.
So then you're normally signed in, I suppose, normally. So
no, yeah, my computer isn't signed in. Like, I don't Instagram through my computer, so it's like, it's a foreign computer. You know, it's a foreign So then I decided to look up mine, same thing, Jeff Fader Instagram, boom, restricted. And it's not like restricted as in like you cannot look at this, but it's like this is the reason, you know, you have to be over 18 in order to do this.
It's like parental discretion.
Well, we're going to get to that. So then I did a couple people. Then I did Josh Scott, JSK Knives. His page came right up. Jared Thatcher, his page came right up. Will Stelter, his page came right up. Mareko Momasi, Momasi Fire Arts, restricted. And I looked at a couple of them, and I'm just like, I wonder why that is. And I'm like, I have no idea. Then yesterday, people started posting that they had their account status changed to all green, three green dots instead of three green dots and one orange dot. You know, orange dot saying can't represent. And everyone's just like, it's fixed, it's fixed, it's fixed. And I'm just like, well, I wonder what the fuck is going on. Because some people's are restricted, some people's aren't restricted. But that restriction, I think, I felt like, oh my God, I know what this is. I felt as though these companies are starting to do what porn sites are doing. And I've been reading about what porn sites are doing. Basically, if you
really?
Look
at, you know. Just
noticing yeah, all these interruptions to your normal
when I look at
internet
the, I pick up the Wall Street Journal every morning, and I'm looking, flipping through, and there happens to be an article about porn sites, okay? Trust me. So that's now when you click on these porn sites, it immediately says, you know, how you have to secure whether or not you're over 18 or not in order to. So it's almost like a checkpoint. So I thought, Jesus Christ, I think that Meta and all these guys are starting to do, they're starting to learn. Maybe they're going to get around this whole AI, this whole algorithm thing by just doing what the porn sites do and just make sure everybody's over 18. So I'm thinking, I wonder what, now you're getting involved with all these people are sending messages to the Knife Talk, sending messages to me. What do you think this is? What do you think? And I honestly, I'm like, everybody just take a fucking breath. Obviously you can't count because at first it was four things where three lights were green and one is orange. And now it's three green lights. You're short one. So something's changing. And then about half an hour ago, it all of a sudden everything went back and everyone threw themselves around because we're back to being restricted and stuff. There's this weird shit going on and everyone's like, there's this inability to just take a beat. Or like you were saying, Craig, just take a second, chill out, and try to figure out what this is. But it's like, there is this, just everyone's reacting in these kind of crazy ways.
So what would you do tomorrow if Instagram was just stopped? If, you know, if the whole service went offline and that was it, Instagram had gone. What would be your route to marketing? What would you be doing then?
Well, that's a good ass question. Number one, I'd be like, I would be doing would be, and this is something that we've been trying to do in general for the past year, is I refer to this as we've been living off of repeat business, because our repeat business has been dynamite. And I'm hearing the same thing from a lot of people. I'm hearing the same thing from my t-shirt guy who makes my t-shirts. He's getting no new customers. It's all repeat business. And I'm hearing it from different people. So I would be, you know, I'd be thanking my lucky stars. We had started a newsletter list a long time ago. Or if you buy something from my website, you automatically on the newsletter. I'd be thankful for that, and I'd be trying to figure out ways in which to kind of market towards my customers. And I'd be focusing on my customer service until I can figure something out. I'm also starting to do things that a couple of years ago I said I'll never do. Like, I didn't want to go to fucking Westchester Magazine and wear a Fader Knives t-shirt. A guy comes up to me and goes, I know you. You play guitar, right? I said, I don't play guitar. He goes, yeah, you do. You play guitar. And I said, I don't play fucking guitar. He goes, well, why are you wearing a Fender guitar shirt? I said, and I pulled the shirt. I said, it says Fader Knives. It doesn't say anything Fender. It says Fader. And he just looked at me with his mouth open like he was drunk homunculus. And I walked in. I was like, don't fucking say Fender. Get your glasses squared away. I was
F
doing
is facing
stuff
in the wrong direction.
I wouldn't do some. I wouldn't. There's a lot of things that I'm starting to do that I didn't want to do before. I didn't want to hire a PR company, but I also want to grow. You know, so there are things in which I'm having to make decisions on. I'm toying with I'm toying with a friend of mine who's got a wine business, a really great wine business. He and I have been really close for a while. We're thinking about doing an event together, like where I do something. Who knows? We have to figure it out. I was against that. I didn't want to fucking stand around. And what'd you say?
You can play guitar.
Yeah, I play guitar. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, I mean, I'm having to figure out ways in which to do something that I wouldn't normally do. You know, I would do. If it made sense, it doesn't make sense for me to do as farmer's market. I would do it. No one's walking around getting their ear of corn and paying $500 for a knife. I mean, that's fact. Yeah. You know, so like, I would try to really have to sit down and figure out things we could do.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah. Was that for
what
me?
About you?
Oh, that was for me.
Whatever.
Okay.
Well, you're owning this.
Yeah, I would. I would do more work with the email list. I would probably, if Instagram wasn't around, I'd probably go back to trying to do stuff over on Facebook. But are we talking about no social media?
No social media. Let's just say no social media.
So email, for sure. Shows. And honestly, I would probably start looking at purveyors, like our friends over at Eating Tools and other places. I would start looking at them as a kind of business partner in a way. Where people are going to them as a resource for helping to understand what is quality versus not quality, and I would be probably doing some sales work through them or try to develop that. I don't know. I think outside of that, it's hard to. I mean, sharpening. Or not sharpening, but doing farmers markets do work for some people, but I think it's definitely not everybody, and it's definitely not everywhere. I think the way that I've kind of diversified my income, so it isn't just from knife making. I do sharpening, I do teaching, Patreon's kind of, we'll have to pretend, I guess, maybe that Patreon doesn't exist. Yeah, I find other ways to earn a living outside of just the knife making that help to fill the gaps or create a bit of flexibility, so it's not just tied into me making knives.
We're working with we have a meeting tomorrow morning with a company, and we've been pitched to come up with products for them, and we're doing non-knife stuff. What we're pitching is non-knife stuff. And I'm
sausage
not
pricks?
Against it. Pardon me?
Sausage pricks?
No, that's not knife. I said non knife stuff.
Yeah, you said
don't
not
talk about his friends like that.
Don't talk about my friends like that.
Right?
Don't talk about my friends like that. I swear to God. To sausage prick, that's my friend down the street. Don't worry about him. Now, I'm just saying that, like, we are doing things outside of, you know, what we normally do in order to kind of, like, have some sort of situation. Now, based on after what Mareko said, I've been talking to Tony, and I have been talking about the fact that having a storefront would be, if we had a place in Brooklyn like Joel, there is nobody like Joel from Cut Brooklyn in New York anymore. If you had a space where you could sell knives and to do sharpening services and do classes and kind of figure stuff like that, I think Rock Naz does that. I think he's got something going on in Industry City in Brooklyn. I think it'd be great. Being able to be seen is a huge thing, and I would highly recommend. I would do. If I lived in Brooklyn, I would have already had a spot by now. Because why not be visible? You know, I can't really do the sharpening service where it makes sense for us, because there's no real way for me to, you know, I already talked to a few people about that kind of situation, and it all seems all very complicated. But the problem is like, I've heard it all from some of our listeners and from some of our non-listeners. And it's like the boogeyman is preventing them from making things happen. And the craziest part is that there seems to be this, like, unrealistic expectation that everyone's entitled to be small business owners. You know, the amount of small business owners that are not in business after a year is incredibly high. Like, restaurants, the perfect example, where you get in there, you do your renovations, you get everything squared away, you get the chef, and next thing you know, you've only paid 2 months' rent and you're already out. You know, small businesses are not meant to be a guaranteed source of income. And we've got to figure out ways in which to circumvent that, you know, and try to figure out ways in which we can prosper.
Yeah. No, completely. Yeah. I think email list is the most economical way of growing, but you obviously need to get people onto that list. And I think particularly in the UK, the last sort of probably 7 years or so, there's been this big movement of sort of food festivals where they, you know, it's a weekend festival you pay your £200-300 to go to. They'll have a few bands on as well. It's very sort of family focused, but it's mainly focusing on the food, not so much the music and stuff. So there's like the big festival and there's a picnic in the park, and a lot of the big chefs actually run their own as well. So I think having a presence in them, they're expensive, really expensive to go to as a vendor. But I think what you do get is obviously the opportunity to sell. But, you know, these are, I'd say, the £200-300 festivals to go to. People aren't going to get drunk for the music. They're going for the food. So it's the right kind of person there. But if they're not buying, you've got a few thousand people who are your potential customers. They really, it is the right demographic, people with money, people into food. So, you know, have some sort of way of capturing their email address there, you know, saying, you know, we've got a competition coming up, or we've got, you know, this new product coming up. Just capture as much as you can and just grow the email list that way. Because by far, that's the most economical way of reaching people. And I think, you just need to be sort of creative of how you get these people on a list. Because if there's no social media to push them to the list, how are you going to do that? And that's going to have to be getting out and, you know, meeting people and doing it in person. And I think, I think these sort of food festivals are probably the way to do it, you know? But yeah, there is a big financial outlay to be a vendor at these, but I think it's probably worth it.
I was just going to ask, are we also saying that blogs are social media or blogs are not? Because essentially...
Officer, I didn't mean to jaywalk. Don't worry about it. We'll just have a conversation.
Well, I guess blogs were a really big deal for a long time. And honestly, I think there's still a lot of strength in blogs. And so I think doing a blog or getting featured on somebody else's blog is kind of some of the cross-promotional stuff, like especially Jeff is benefiting from by doing these collaborations with chefs and designing knives and there is some of that cross-pollination that happens by being featured on somebody's blog or in a magazine or in a newspaper or something like that. And that is also another way, I think, and it's not easy, but I think for the right person and the right timing and whatever, with the right kind of content, it could be a great opportunity for somebody to grow their audience in a way that is unconventional, at least compared to using social media. It's kind of, I guess, kind of goes back to the old school ways of how people would, self-promote and create visibility for themselves.
So when I was at the Taste of Westchester last night, the Best of Westchester, it was hundreds of vendors, food vendors, and they all had tables. And you'd buy tickets, and then they would have a table, or in some cases they had their, you know, food truck or whatever, and they were all handing out free food, like a small plate of this, you know, one guy had a ceviche, one guy had noodles with, you know, Szechuan beef, one guy had sushi, one guy, they were just giving it away. And I was talking to my friend who was in the restaurant game. I said, how do these guys recoup their money? And they said, well, they don't. They pay to be here, and then they're in charge of the food. You know, for thousands of people, a couple thousand people.
It's marketing, right?
But it's like, it is a giant outlay to think about how much money, and then it's just the visibility of people who just want to eat, and maybe they'll see their restaurant, maybe they'll see their thing, but it's a big outlay. You're paying for a couple guys to work the table. You're paying for the food. You're paying for the, you know, the forks and the paper plates and the napkins and then all the, and you're just giving away, you know, probably, in some cases, $1,000, maybe $1,000 worth of food. And it's like, I kept saying, well, how does this guy afford it? And he's just like, they got to roll the dice. And they have to invest in these things as a promotional avenue. And The funniest part is like I see people. I bought my new power hammer. I bought my new press. I bought my new anvil. I bought another anvil. I bought this. Look at this, and they're investing in these objects, and then they have a shit ton of anvils. They got a shit ton of hammers. They got a shit ton of all this stuff, and then it's just like, well, I don't have any money to do any business cards. I don't have any money to do a good website. We had a meeting when I was in Barcelona. Tony and Allison had a meeting with a website company, and they were saying to me, we're going to talk to this company about maybe investing in a red website. I'm like, well, get ready. It's going to be at least, it's a good website. It's going to be probably like 16 G's. And like, no, it won't be that much. Well, it was 14 G's, you know, for the one that with the kind of we wanted. I mean, but that's it. I mean, that's the tip of the iceberg. So it's like, There's being in business, a lot of it is having to make investments in things maybe that aren't shiny that you can enjoy and tell your friends about. You know, I've invested in shit that I'm not telling anybody about. You know, a fucking PR company? What am I going to do with that? You know, what am I going to... Hey, guys, I'm like, we wanted to fucking wring their necks last week. I mean, so it's like there's a lot of stuff that's happening that we need to kind of like just... take a breath and realize that this is a marathon, not a sprint, and everything takes a long time. And, you know, don't panic. It's organic, and we're here for you. Yeah.
Business Bros podcast.
I feel sorry that we've been doing this too much, but, you know, it comes up all the time. I mean, it just, like, we get inundated with this shit on Knife Talk podcast on Instagram. So, you know, it might as well just, you know, try to whatever. So
I was going to add to that, how you said that the my account is restricted when you pulled it up on the website. It was actually something I actually did to help or at least try to help with the visibility, because I think I can't remember where it was saying, but you know, some people were talking about restricting your account to certain age groups so that anybody who is essentially over that age should be able to ideally more freely see your stuff, if it's not kind of like deemed as content that needs to be restricted. But I honestly don't really know, or I can't tell how that's really been affecting anything, if it's been positive or negative. But that would be my guess as to why some accounts were restricted and others were not.
Well, this is interesting now. I'm just looking now and I can see... Fader Knives is restricted and Momassi Fire Arts are both restricted. Fader Knives is restricted to 18 years or older. Momassi Fire Arts is 18 years or old or older to see the profile. Momassi Fire Arts is 21 years or older to see the profile.
Wow. Can't have a drink over with Mareko anymore.
No,
maybe that's why.
It's you know what? Picks.
It's probably because that fucking beer you were doing with Gabe. I bet you that's it.
Yeah.
Well, no, yeah. I mean, so this is something you can go into your account and you can set yourself. And so I set mine to 18 initially, but then it was talking about content being restricted in other countries up to age 21. And so it was suggested to restrict up to 21. So I suggested that. But I did it myself.
Oh, okay.
I made my account restricted to only people of a certain age or older.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay, makes sense. Okay.
Doing shot. Now you start to teach people how to do shots and stuff. You know, bong hits. Now we're here for a party.
Naked grinding. Yeah.
Have a party with Mareko. So.
Okay, I think we've done enough business speak. But we all know there's a number of things that you need. If you're going to be a knife maker, there's a number of things you're going to need. First off, you're going to need to be able to heat treat. And heat treat well. And heat treat evenly. You can head over to evenheat-kilns.com and see the range that they've got. Evenheat is the best. It's what we all use. If you're going to use any sort of kiln for heat treating, get yourself an Evenheat. Do yourself a favor. And once you've done that, you're going to need abrasives. Unfortunately, we all need abrasives. They're not fun things to buy, but we can make it easier for you by giving you 15% off by going to combatabrasives.com using KnifeTalk15 and getting 15% off your order. Head on over to combatabrasives.com. Every type of abrasive you could possibly need in any size you could possibly need, combatabrasives.com, and use KnifeTalk15 for 15% off. Okay, shall we do some questions?
Good questions. We have overrated, underrated, our new favorites bit, and we have listener feedback. And we have one or two more would you rathers. But...
Let's stick with tradition for a bit and do a couple of questions.
Okay.
Mareko, do you want to take the first?
Yes, I do. Sorry, I was just scrolling around. Okay, this one is from Mr. C Customs or MRC Customs. I'm not sure. Dilemma for next week. Okay. Sup, boys. I'm in a bit of a pickle. I recently finished a custom knife for a close friend of mine, and I'm unsure of whether or not I should post a picture of it. I don't want to offend him, but I'm nervous about posting something politically divisive while I'm still trying to build my brand. I've gotten mixed feedback from other people, but none of them are business owners. Any insights?
I had to edit it a little bit to make it a little bit more vague.
Because
even putting it the way he put it would make it divisive on the fucking podcast.
Yeah.
That's how political these things get. So.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. Everything seems to be political these days. And I'm amazed that people want, I mean, this guy's making a knife for somebody and this knife is in some way divisive politically, you know? I'm amazed how people pick sides and they need to show their sides. They need to be so proud of their side. But that's by the by. But I can certainly see the risk in it, yeah, because I know particularly in the States it's particularly volatile at the moment. And I think showing your hand, you could potentially be doing yourself out of basically 50% of your audience. So whilst I think, you know, you should stay true to what you believe, you don't necessarily have to be posting about it. It's not relevant to your audience, your political beliefs. What's relevant to your audience is your work. I think if it's obviously divisive, I wouldn't post it now.
What do you think, Mareko?
I think, if you feel like it's divisive, then, or if you don't feel comfortable posting it, it's your page. You do what you want. And so post it or don't post it. If you are looking for content to post, if you don't want to post the final thing, then maybe you can post some close-ups of parts of the blade that you're, like, especially if it's a Damascus pattern. So you could put photos of the blade on there, or maybe even some of the work in progress or the progression, the steps along the way. If you want to post something, and just, I don't know. I think there's an opportunity. I feel like a lot of people only want to put finished stuff on their page, and I think there's a place for that. And I think that does work for some people, especially if that's like how their whole feed looks, like essentially like a photo gallery. But I also think there's an opportunity for more of us to do some work to try to help educate our potential customers by showing them the process of how things are made. So they have a better understanding of how the work, like the amount of work that goes into it. I think it's something that really benefited me early on. Was not only customers seeing that, but then also other makers seeing that, and people sharing it probably from both sides helped to grow my account quite large before, you know, some of the big other stuff like being featured on Alex Steele's YouTube bumped it up pretty big, and then doing the Joe Rogan podcast really bumped it up. But before that, any of that happened, I was already at like 25,000 followers, and I got there by showing my process, as well as the finished stuff, but showing the process to help educate people so they had a better understanding of, you know, what went into it.
It's also what you're willing to deal with. Some people do well saying, here's my political stance, and you're either with me or not. Some people do well with that. And if that's where it sounds like he's trying to build his brand and stuff like that. I generally stay away from political stuff anyway, only because I want all your money. You know, that was the strap line. I said to Alice, and we were talking. She's like, well, what do you feel about this? I'm like, dude, I want all their money. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck about their political opinions. I want all their money. We have bills to pay. I don't give a shit everybody doesn't have to be exactly like you. That's the crazy part. I don't have to be, I can be friends with people who are completely politically different than I am. And I got no problem with it. I don't need everyone to be just like me. I don't want that. Fuck. I don't want that. It'd be such a boring place. And the crazy part is, I remember I try not to be political. I pretty much think that if you listen to how I speak and where I'm from and my background and stuff like that, you can pretty much get an idea. However, I don't like make a big production about it. But I remember I did a video. I was trying to do something. I've been doing more cooking videos because, you know, look, they don't want you. You know, I'm trying to like show people how to cook stuff. So I made. I think I even mentioned this before. I was making hot dogs. I got the soubrette hot dogs. I got the fucking sauerkraut. I got the mustard. And I decide, all right, let's play. You know, just watch a Yankee game. Let's play some Frank Sinatra in New York, New York. And I'm thinking, is that political at all? Is that political at all? None of it's political. Hot dogs aren't political.
I wouldn't say political.
Is it divisive? A hot dog on a grill with fucking Frank Sinatra is divisive?
No, not at all, no.
Yeah. This guy comes in, he goes, I really wish I could come to New York, but if I can't be armed or I can't, you know, protect myself on those streets with a gun, then I never want to come there. It was just like, what the fuck's fucking hot dogs? You know, fucking hot. It was like, I'm not getting in on this. I'm not like starting it. I'm not finishing it. I'm just letting it, just let it lie. And I turned to my wife. I'm like, you can't fucking say anything. You can't even fucking hot dogs in a, you know, I was hoping for PETA. I'll take PETA. Come at me with the vegans. No vegans don't come after me. It's gun guys about hot dogs. It's like not the kind of people you're expecting to get. And it's like, so my opinion is I steer clear of any controversy just because it's like, that's not really where I want to be. It's not where I want to be at all. And in regards to this guy, I would also have that conversation beforehand. If the dude's like, oh, are you going to post? I would say to him, listen, I want to make this for you. I appreciate you. You're my friend. I make this and stuff like that. I want to make this. I want your fucking money too. But I mean, like, here's my opinion on it. I'm also trying to grow my business and I don't really want to, you know, I'm not trying to make a political statement in the situation. And I think that's the way to go.
That's a good point where I think some people, if they're going to be buying a knife from a known maker, they're going to want them to post that knife.
Right.
You know, there's going to be some that are like, oh, it's custom. I'd prefer if you didn't. But a lot of people will be like, I want you to post that. I want people to know that I've got this knife and I want, you know. So, yeah, it is probably a conversation to be had beforehand. You're right, yeah.
I've had a guy who said to me, before you send the knife, I want you to do the flip trick with my knife. I want you to flip one of your videos where you flip something. And I was like, all right, no problem. No problem. But it was like, I mean, if it's going to be like, you know, but pick your divisiveness, I'm just going to be like, yo, we're not, you know, you're going to have to think about it in your head. I'm not doing it. You know,
have you done one yet? Have you done a knife with a red handle one side and a blue the other, and you flip it and you sort of wait to see where it lands?
What do you mean? Oh, you mean Democrat or Republican? No, I don't think anyone's. I don't fuck with that shit. It's like I'm so right down the middle on everything, and I'm just like I don't want to have court problems because it's like it doesn't take it.
No, I do.
You know, in the mornings now, if I go on Instagram, I'm going on Facebook, and I watch all these mental patients throwing themselves around. It's just like it is. Funny entertainment, but at the same time, like, I don't want my energy in that. You know, I don't need to be in the fucking, well, what about this? I'm not sticking my fucking head in that bullshit. Fuck that.
Yeah.
So this is tough, man.
I agree.
I was just looking at your Reels feed, and it looks like your grilled pizza one has actually done pretty damn good. 26,500 views,
all right,
man.
What do you count? I don't count. I told you my opinion on counting. Remember?
Hey, what's wrong with looking at the numbers?
I don't count. I, you know, do it, put it away, and that's it. I don't count. See. Did I ever tell you why I don't count?
Post and drop, because you don't want your feelings hurt?
No, because I had a guy in high school. That was good. I shouldn't have stepped on that laugh. You did a good job. I don't count because I had, in high school, I had a friend who would fuck his, he would tell us how many times he had sex with his girlfriend. One girl. He's telling us every time he comes back from school. Four more times. It's been 67. And my one friend, this one friend of mine, who's the smallest guy in the whole class, turns to me, he's like, all right, we got it. You have sex. What do you want? It's enough already. We got it. We got it with the same person. We got it. And ever since then, I was just like, yeah, what the fuck am I counting for? It's like, well, I make knives.
I guess I'm thinking of it as a data point and trying to see what content is getting traction and what isn't. And if something's getting more traction, then maybe you do more of that.
Of course. I'm being jokey. Okay. I see what's working, what's not working. I was making a kind of radio joke, so trying to be entertaining on this podcast.
Sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
I stepped on your joke.
No, it's okay. You know, I will say that, like, I do, I've been doing more cooking feeds, and I am getting, I'm getting stupid comments from knife makers who should know better, who should be like, have some, a little bit of etiquette in terms of, like, being helpful towards people in the community, especially people, frankly, like me, who've been entertaining your sorry asses for as long as they have. You should just be supportive. Don't break my balls on my business page, because all it makes me is irritated. So, like, yeah. If you don't like something I cook and you're a knife maker, I didn't make it for you anyway. But, like, keep your fucking jokes to yourself, and don't make yourself have to explain things, and don't, you know, it's silly. On to the next question.
You should start a three strikes, you're out system.
Nah, I don't block. I only blocked. I'll tell you who I blocked. I blocked a knife maker who is very known for being very salty. And I blocked him years ago just because he was going after other friends of mine, just being totally unnecessary. And I thought to myself, I'm Wally Llama. You know what I mean? I'm like, let these people live. Show, you know. And all of a sudden he said something to me that I just felt like just didn't need it. And I blocked him. Yeah. That was the first big block I've ever really done. I don't block a lot of people. Yeah. So I don't think I'm ready for three strikes.
Fair enough. Right, we need to tell everybody about maritimeknifesupply.com. They are the Canadian distributor for combat abrasives. They do rhino work, they do steel, they do belts, they do handle materials. Basically, it's the one-stop shop for knife makers. Always have a deal where if you buy 10 belts, you get 10% off. So 1 in 10, basically. It's free. So head on over to maritimeknifesupply.com. They're also Maritime Knife Supply on Instagram. Go look at the stuff they've got. Basically, anything we mention in the show that we like, Lawrence makes sure he has it in stock. So go take a look. Have a little browse at maritimeknifesupply.com.
And did you know that they're sponsoring the Great Lakes Custom Knife Show? It's happening Saturday.
Tell me more.
Saturday, August 17th in Goderich, Ontario. I don't know if I said that right, but it's in Ontario. Canada's largest knife show, located on the picturesque shores of Lake Huron and featuring some of the most talented makers in Canadian knife making. Go follow the Great Lakes Custom Knife Show on Instagram or visit greatlakescustomknifeshow.com for more information. I know that Noah Vachon will be there with his whole family. He's driving his whole family out there. God bless Noah Vachon.
Good dude. I believe it's Goderich.
Great. Okay. What did I say? Goderich?
Goderich.
Yeah, Goderich.
Goderich. Maybe you were just trying to say it in a Scottish accent.
Yeah, that's how I do. Goderich. That's how I normally do. All right, let's keep going.
Okay, you take one, Jeff. You take question.
All right, Vallejo Knives. This is one we get a lot, but it is hot and it is humid, so we're going to get it some more. Vallejo Knives says, "Hey, guys, I recently finished some carbon steel knives, but since I haven't sold them yet, I've left them in a drawer in my workshop, which is apparently pretty humid. Now, some have developed rust spots, even though I oiled the blades. Any tips on knife storage for an unknown amount of time? Thanks a lot, Valentine." And to just a nice throwback from a couple months ago, what Mareko originally said was stick it in a Ziploc, stick it in a, what was it? What did you put it in? Stick it in a Ziploc bag. Vacuum pack it and
vacuum
shut
pack
the fuck
that
up.
Shit. Yeah. Wax it, like vacuum pack it, put it away.
And shut the fuck up. What do you think, guys?
I still hold by the vacuum packing. Wax, yeah. At least wax it, I think. But vacuum packing will also help with keeping things dry.
Yeah. So maybe these, a desiccant pack. Finished knives, but they're not sold yet.
Right.
Yeah, so I've got a bunch of them. basically, what I do, I wax. I got like just like furniture wax, which I put all over the blade. And I make, like, just using tape, I make like a sheath for it. But because it's waxed, the tape will then come off like a full sort of molded sheath almost, you know? So you can put it on there easy and take it off easy. But yeah, just make sure it's full of wax. And, you know, it's not particularly humid where I am, so I don't really suffer that badly. But yeah, as long as like a wax is great for keeping the sort of oxygen away from the blade, so that'll do it well. But yeah, oils, waxes, anything like that, really.
I just sold an old carbon steel knife that had been sitting in one of the crates wrapped up, oiled, and in the sheath for it had easily been there for a year. And I pulled it out, and it even in the sheath, it developed a little bit of rust. So I cleaned them up. And now what I'm doing is all the carbon steel is going into special plastic and bags and all this stuff. And then I collect those desiccants. Those desiccants you see in, like, the bottom of beef jerky bags. You know what I'm talking
about?
Are
you taking them from the beef jerky bags?
Yeah.
No, not taken from the beef jerky. Yes, for the sake of the bit, yes. Every knife you're going to get from me is going to smell like beef jerky.
Easy transfer.
Yeah, definitely for the bit, yes, 100%. Yeah, and not to mention they go in my mouth first, so I open the...
Well, you got
to
clean it off.
Well, when I... Exactly. I open the beef jerky. It all goes into my mouth. That fucking desiccant swirls around in my disgusting mouth. I spit it into the case with the knife. Bingo, bango, bongo. Desiccanted and smelling like a fucking teriyaki beef jerky.
Delicious.
I tell you what, I'll take one more question, so that's one each, and we'll move on then to overrated or whatever we're going to do. This is from Cutthroat Australia. He says, you make a knife as a gift for your niece for an important pre-18th birthday. It's Damascus, wood handle, etc. She's not old enough to keep it yet, so it stays at your sibling's house for their safekeeping. The next time you visit your sibling's house, the knife is on their magnetic board and there's clear signs of being mistreated. Clearly being through a dishwasher, for example. Very clearly, it's not being kept and safeguarded for niece's usage when she gets older. How do you handle the situation?
Oh, boy. This is easy.
Oh, yeah? What's
go
that?
For it. Go on.
Oh, if it was my... It depends on... I say it's easy based on which family members it is. If it's my sister's, I am fucking beating the brakes off of them. If it was my sister's, I'm going to mercifully berate them for all the, and it's going to be all the pent up treating me, you know, they're all almost 20 years older than me. They treated me like their surrogate child for so many years. Jeffrey William Pater. All the pent up hostility of being mistreated is going to be focused into a ball of filth. And I'm going to impale the both of them in such a rage. It won't even be fun. Now, if it was my wife's family, I'll do some light ball breaking. But if it was my sister's, fucking destruction. I'm wrecking them. Fucking wrecking them.
Yeah. Pretty much the same here, I think. Yeah. It's going to depend on your relationship with those siblings. But, I mean, it's not on, is it? You know,
The better question would be, is not just a family member. If it would be somebody you do or don't know.
Yeah.
If you don't know them, you're not going to see that it's being used, right, at somebody's house.
Maybe you come over, maybe they invite you over for dinner.
Okay, all right. Sorry, Craig, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, yeah, it completely depends on that relationship. But you're going to be pissed off with it, you know? You're going to be pissed off. You put all that effort in for a special gift. I mean, it's a weird thing to do, to give them a gift and say you can have this on your 18th birthday. I mean, that's a strange thing to do, I think. But you have, and I think, well, yeah, it's a bit shitty of them to be using that knife, I think.
Mm. What do you think, Mareko?
I think I would bust their balls a little bit and make comments about how it looks like it's definitely been used, or maybe they put it through the dishwasher and give them a hard time. And then I would suggest that I take it and clean it up. I'll clean it back up for you. And then I just don't fucking give it back to them.
Ooh. Plot twist.
I'll hold on to this for now. Or I keep delaying on getting it fixed up. But yeah, that is kind of... Unless... I don't know how old his niece is, but say, like, my kid's 8. If Jeff were to send a knife and be like, this is for Victor, but he can't use it right now, so just keep it somewhere safe. And I started using that knife. I would feel like I feel like that's kind of fucking weird. Somebody else's present. And also, like, I'm sure, like, maybe they ask the kid, hey, do you mind if we use your knife? It's so nice. And, well, like, what's a 7 or 8 year old going to say? No.
Two things. Yeah. I think that I think that Aiden over at Cutthroat is getting fucking washed. I think he's getting rinsed on this whole thing. Number one, I think your family member got a fucking good ass deal from you, and it's not going to their kid at all. That's number one. And I think it never was going to go to their kid. And I think, because, I mean, exactly. It's like, this special knife, this Damascus knife, you're going to, if it was a Damascus knife that you paid, let's just even say you get the Damascus from someone and you put the knife together. What's the minimum you're going to charge for a Damascus knife, even if it's your family? Let's just say minimum, if just because you're being a good guy and everything, let's just say minimum $300. That would be like a fucking steal. Because it's like your family, and it's going to this kid. It's going. They were never going to, Aiden, they were never going to give that knife. They never planned on giving that knife to that kid at all. And you got rinsed, dude. So you got rinsed. I think you got rinsed on the price. I think that they completely misled you. And I'd be pissed, frankly. I would do a record. I'd take it fucking back.
Australians, you can't trust them. You cannot trust them.
That's some bull. I mean, that's a number one. Why would a child want a Damascus chef knife anyway? It's like, you know, gaga goo goo. I want Damascus chef knife. No, fucking, I want to watch cartoonies. I want to watch fucking cartoonies. She's pre-18. So what? She's 14, and all of a sudden now what? That's Get hilarious. The fuck out of here. You got rinsed, Aiden. You got rinsed.
I read that question as though Aiden gave the knife as a gift to his niece.
So you think
the parents requested a family discount on a knife to give as a gift, and then they're using it themselves.
Let's just say that's the case. Then he basically said, I'm making your daughter this knife and don't use it. And they were just like, okay, no problem. Fuck you. As soon as it gets in the box, I'm fucking opening it up and I'm going to use it. You know, I'm going to stick it on the magnet board. I'm going to throw it the dishwasher 100 times. Yeah, you're on you. Both was on you, Aiden, respectfully. However, I did make a knife for a friend. Ben Snoor said to me years ago, my daughter is really, she loves cooking and she would love one of your knives. And I'm like, say less. And I made her a knife, sent it to Ben. Ben is not allowed to touch it. His wife's not allowed to touch it. The kid uses it all the time. They send me pictures. His daughter uses it all the time. She loves using it. You know, in this situation, it wasn't like I didn't get rinsed. I was like, you know, I think, Aiden, you were too nice. They got rinsed both ways. You got rinsed.
Saw him coming. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, then. So let's say you are making a Damascus knife. You have a feeling it's going to be mistreated, put in dishwashers, and so on. You're probably going to want a stainless Damascus. What would you be picking? Mareko.
Damasteel, for sure. Yeah, Damasteel is definitely the way to go.
Damasteel is a great company that makes a repeatable stainless Damascus, and they are at damasteel.se, or you can go to damasteel AB on Instagram. And if you want to get any more of the Damasteel Invitational Steel for the build along, Maritime Knife Supply has the rest of the billets if you want to do that. And if you go to damasteel.se, fill out the paperwork or whatever, I guess, or fill out the, you know, login and all that, you can put in Knife Talk 10 to get 10% off all your Damasteel. So yeah, it's easy to work with, easy to use. The website's really helpful for heat treating and everything else. Definitely worth trying it, even if you're a stock removal guy. No disrespect.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, what else we got?
We have
overrated, underrated, or perfectly rated.
Speedster Stoves, our guy Gary came us the idea. If you want to submit bits to the podcast, go to Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram and you can DM us your bits. This one came from Gary. He came up with this bit where he gave us these things that were overrated, and we have to decide, it's like a thing, and we decide if it's overrated, underrated, or perfectly rated. And it's our personal preferences in the situation, and we'll talk about it. So good job, Gary. But then he submitted, the first one he submitted, he thought he was real slick, and he submitted something. I was just like, Gary, you did such a good job. You got to give me the good shit now. It's now you're on the hook. So I will give you, our listeners have given us some things, and we will decide our own personal decision if they're overrated, underrated, perfectly rated. And the first one comes from our friend Richard Patterson. He wants us to know if Rockwell hardness testers are overrated, or Rockwell hardness, I should say that. Rockwell hardness, is it overrated, underrated, or perfectly rated? Not the testers, just the hardness.
The actual hardness, the scale. Okay.
Right.
I'd say perfectly rated, because you need a baseline. You need something to judge against. And I think having a formal scale is probably the way to go. What I would say, though, is what we do is generally within a range of sort of 5 or 6 points. So if this was maybe more sort of decimalized, we'd have more of, you know, we could be more accurate within our range. When you think of most testers, I know we're not talking about testers, but, you know, you have to use a tester to find out what that level hardness is, unless you're using files. They have these analog scales on them, and you're not really showing much variation. So I think if the scale was opened up a bit more, particularly with testers, do you know what I mean? You had a broader scope.
Yes.
That would certainly help. So you get any differences that you're making in your heat treat, you could do better testing and see what the differences are, as opposed to it looks the same as last time. You know.
What do you think, Mareko?
I'm gonna say it's perfectly rated, because I think that reading can be both overrated and underrated. And I think it can be overrated when that's the only data point that somebody might use as a sales point. It's 64 whatever HRC Rockwell, but that's only a very small part of the overall equation or process that got that material to that point. You can get steel fucking insanely hard, but if the grain is blown out, you have a piece of shit knife. So the Rockwell hardness does not matter. And then I think it's underrated because I think a lot of people, a lot of people think that the steel has to be super high hardness, but actually, like, I think it's important that they understand that there's a range of operation depending on the style of knife and how it's being used. And so I think it's underrated as a data point, when it comes into consideration of how you're tailoring your heat treatment and your overall heating and cooling processes to engineer that knife. And if you need more information, you should get Knife Steel Nerds or Dr. Laren Thomas, his book Knife Engineering, who also just had a great article posted out, I think, last week about forging stainless. But there's a ton of great information in there on how to play with that Rockwell and grain size and all that kind of stuff to make a great knife.
I believe Rockwell... I believe that Rockwell hardness is underrated because it is the way to see if you're doing it right. If your heat treatment is right and the Rockwell is where it needs to be, it's a great indicator. The interesting thing is I talk to a lot of chefs these days, and I feel as though that there are a lot of companies, big companies, that have made the standard chef knife for people. And if you look at the Rockwell test on the Rockwell reading, the Rockwell scale on these, you know, production knives, they're much lower than what we would norm, that a lot of knife makers, custom knife makers would do. A lot of custom knife makers are in the, let's just say for argument's sake, 57 to 61 Rockwell range. Most of these big guys are like 54. They're like 54. They're 53. Mm-hmm. And part of that is because I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they want these knives to be easier to be maintained by using the same steel that they're using. And it gives people a false sense of what a knife is supposed to, how it's supposed to hold the edge. When you hear people talk about, like, regular civilians talking about, like, holding an edge, but you're also comparing that to these steels that people, you know, these giant companies are using, and they're kind of giving lower Rockwells than what we're doing. So I feel like Rockwell test tells you a ton about what the knife will do. I think it's underrated.
Okay. I've got one for you, Jeff. Okay.
Go ahead.
Overrated, underrated, or perfectly rated? Broadbeck Ironworks grinders.
Oh, super duper underrated. I mean, they go horizontal, they go vertical, they have tons of different attachments. You can customize. If you want to build it yourself, you can build it yourself. You want them to build it, they'll build it. You want all the options, they'll have your options. You have parts and attachments all day, and you go to broadbeckironworks.com, put in the promo code KnifeTalk10, you get 10% off everything. So I think it's completely 1000% underrated. Broadbeck Ironworks, underrated.
There you go. Okay.
Okay.
We've got another.
Yes, this one comes from Paul Jansen. Paul Jansen wants to know if hybrid handles are overrated or underrated or perfectly rated.
Well,
just give your opinion. You can give your opinion. You don't have to be. Don't. You can. Not going to hurt anybody's feelings.
What's a hybrid handle?
Okay.
You know, the CrossFit of handles. So
half wood,
like shock
wood.
What is that?
Yeah.
Like
the shock wood stuff.
You know, you fucking know. We've been talking about it for years, the CrossFit of knife making handle material.
Yeah. I'll go first. I'm going to say overrated, simply because the only time that I've used one, which I'd bought in, hadn't made myself, it just wasn't the strongest. It wouldn't hold up even to like a chef knife. And let's face it, we're not taking these out in the woods and throwing them at trees. So I'll say overrated, but I've got a very limited experience of them. And I think it depends on the construction and the manufacturer of them. But certainly the one that I would use was certainly overrated.
Marekka, what do you think?
I have a hard time having an opinion because I've never used.
Well, you don't have to use it. You can just have an opinion. We're just off the cuff here.
Maybe overrated, I think, because some of the color combinations are really fucking bizarre and weird to me.
That's true. See, I'm sort of glad I pushed you into this conversation, dude. They're wacko. Some of them are wacko.
Yeah.
It's crazy because they sell so well. And the funniest part is about the hybrid handle material and the people who make most of this hybrid handle material is they're not knife makers. So they're just like, a lot of them are pen makers. A lot of them are just like, well, I can do this pretty well. And knife makers are buying it. So they cough up some wacko colors. I've gotten one accidentally. I need one. My friend Nico wanted to do the Voltron. He wanted to do a set of five knives. Every knife was going to be a different person, and it was going to be the Voltron Lions. So he wanted hybrid handle material for all of them. But once they're all five of those people are together, you get the Voltron Lion. You know, you get the Voltron. You know, maybe you guys don't know what I'm talking about. So
no,
I had to get yellow.
I had to get yellow,
and because there's a yellow lion. And I called up a guy and said, hey, can you make this hybrid handle material? Can you make it yellow? And he's like, you got it. No problem. It looked like frozen urine. It legitimately looks like, I was like, this looks like fucking whiz. It looks like I haven't had enough water and whiz. It was horrible. So like, I know what you're saying, man. There's some fucking wacky colors, but shit sells pretty well. So I'm going to say... perfectly rated. I'll be simple on that. Okay, next one comes from Paul Jansen. Misting systems. Are they overrated, underrated, or perfectly rated? Misting systems.
Having never used one, I'll say perfectly rated just because I couldn't really give an opinion either way. But what worries me about those misting systems is your equipment, your grinders and stuff, to be permanently sort of doused in moisture. I don't know, unless you're looking after them very, very well and you're greasing them all the time. I'd be worried about the equipment that I'm using, to be honest with you.
Rekka, what do you think?
I don't know. I think I like the idea, but I think my concern is similar to Craig's, where I think if it's properly contained and it's the right kind of fluid that's not going to cause a bunch of rusting or something like that, then maybe that's fine. But outside of that, it just seems like a fucking nightmare of a mess to me.
Slip and slide in the shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Waterworks.
I see people using it and I'm thinking like, man, it's like a fucking slip and slide up in this bitch. These motherfuckers are wearing ponchos and shit. I can't think of it. Like, I feel like it's gotta be like the rainforest in there. You know, I don't fuck with that. I don't fuck with them, but I know that a lot of people love them.
Yeah.
So I will say, I'll be a pussy and say perfectly rated. I wouldn't use them, but I haven't used one, so I can't really say whether or not it's overrated or not. But like, same thing as Marekka. I'm just like, I don't need more water everywhere. You know, I could just imagine it, all of a sudden you spritz it into like electrical outlet, and all of a sudden the lights are out. Oh, and you, I got problems with that. Okay, next one comes from Paul Jansen. He sent me a few of them.
I guess.
Good. You know, somebody got to send them. So Paul Jansen's always been good to us. So customer input on a custom knife. Overrated, underrated, or perfectly rated? Customer, the customer decides to put some input on your custom order. Overrated, underrated, perfectly rated. Tough one. That's a tough one.
It is. Customers are the customers. It's the if it's that customer's knife, I think perfectly rated. If it's not that customer's knife, and you just get like random comments on whether it's social media or wherever it is, completely overrated. Because yeah, it's that whole thing of you know what you should do is, you know, we had a whole bit about that. Massively overrated. Yeah.
Recco.
I absolutely agree with Craig. I'll say, I guess, also appropriately rated, because to me, it's really important for me to understand a customer's experience with knives and how they use the knives. And I need that feedback to help inform how I actually grind the blade. So yeah, I'll say it's perfectly rated. But if it's somebody just armchairing on social media on something that has nothing to do with them, they can get fucked.
No, well, this is a customer's input on a custom job.
Okay, all right.
I think customer input is underrated, because it allows you to do something you wouldn't necessarily have done before, and it might put you in a position that you might say, yeah, you know what, I could do this again. Like, I had customer input, my hands are too small, and you need to make the handle smaller. And I'm like, your hands are perfectly fine. I mean, all right, I'll shut up, I'll make you smaller handles. Well, that's the size of my handles now. So, like, that input kind of helped change the way we evolved. So I think that customer input can be underrated.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm being given a 10-minute warning here, because we need to get the children home.
Okay, no problem.
So I'm gonna tell everybody all about TexasFarrierSupply.com, the one place you can go to get everything you need, whether you're a farrier, a knife maker, a bladesmith, whatever you identify as, it's all there at TexasFarrierSupply.com, including Indasa Rhinowet. And if you're doing hand sanding, which I know most of you are, you've got to be using Indasa Rhinowet. Save yourself some time and money. For God's sake, head on over to TexasFarrierSupply.com. Fill up your basket with Indasa Rhinowet. Anything else that takes your fancy, it's always worth a good look around the store there. TexasFarrierSupply.com. Use KnifeTalk10 to get 10% off your entire order.
Well, should we just... We'll save the rest of the overrated, underrated for next week, and we should maybe just fuck around, huh?
Do you think? Okay, let's do it.
You know,
okay.
We've done enough, haven't we?
We've done enough. Enough. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Okay, so what have we got any feedback this week?
Oh, yeah, we have feedback. We actually got very good feedback. This one comes from, if you want to send us your feedback or anything else, go to Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. This is from Jordan. Jordan says, here's some feedback. Who the heck batons wood with their knife while camping? Just bring a hatchet. Sorry, not sorry. I got a lot of messages last week because we were talking about whether or not you'd want to use a custom chef knife for camping or a camp knife for chef for cooking. And we were talking about batoning wood, and I said, nobody fucking batons wood. You kick the shit out of the wood. You just kick the shit out of the wood. And I got a few messages of people saying, you are 100% right. Who the fuck is batoning wood when you're camping? You just kick the shit. And one guy said, but you'll break your fucking toe or something like that. You'll break your toe or something like that. I'm just like, you kick it with your heel, you know, something like that.
I see. So you're like, you're talking about like stomping on a branch or something like that.
Did you think I was like doing some karate against the tree?
What the fuck you were doing? He's like,
you fucking stomp the tree.
The stick.
You stomp the fucking tree. I'm not like, hold it. You know, I'm taking my wife. All right, hold this up. And I'm going to kick it like a karate kid. And then, you know, you kick your wife in the head, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like a YouTube video.
But I guess maybe batoning is more of a, like a survivalist thing then. I don't know. I feel like whenever I see content around outdoor shit, batoning with a knife is something I see often. But
I know, I mean, but I like,
it's just YouTubers.
If you go camp, I mean, you're going to go camping with your kids. Are you going to, you got three kids you're going to be fooling around with. Are you going to be batoning shit or are you going to kick the shit out of some wood?
I'm going to the local garage and buying chipped wood.
Yeah. Now that is real fucking smarts right there. Fucking just go buy some fucking wood.
Yeah, we usually bring our own wood.
Yes, of course. No one's batoning shit, you know? Let me get, I just want, I that batoning shit is hilarious. And yeah, I got a lot of messages about people like, I baton, what's the big deal? Like, nothing, enjoy, go ahead, live your life. Whittle, you know, fucking carve a bis pole for all I care. It doesn't matter to me. 9 point says, first off, tell Mr. Fader to stop being a gatekeeper and give me a full breakdown tutorial on making a damn knife. It's 2024, so I expect to have the instructions laid out for me in a video format by this evening. He was obviously joking. On a serious note, the podcast inspired me further today, starting off on an Instagram page with no followers last month. It's going to be pretty tough to grow, but fuck the algorithm, fuck the excuses. You have to work to make anything great. I'm going to work harder than the next guy, and it won't stop me until I get there. And you know what? When you know you're making a good product like Nuge did, you got to push further and further until you hit the edge of the cliff or top of the mountain. Steep hill can't keep you down. Magna Carta over. So that was a Magna Carta of, he's fired up. We got him fired up. 9 points fired up.
Nice.
Nice. And here we can, this last one can be a ball, we can ball break the writer. JD Eiler says, great episode, gentlemen. Lots of laughs and great info as always. Here's a couple of tips from a West Texan on beating summer heat in the shop. Would you guys like to guess a couple of his tips? He's got a lot of tips. And I feel as though we could guess all of them. Can you guess
a wet towel around the neck?
That's pretty good.
Wet towel on the neck. Something down the pants.
Well, number one, air movement is key. It supplies fresh outside air, and movement helps evaporate sweat. Another one is a best way to keep cool is frequent sips of ice water. Keep that tumbler, and every time you walk, just take a swig. Keep yourself hydrated.
Is this from Ask Jeeves or something?
Yeah. JD Eiler actually wrote this shit down. Just, if it's hot, drink some water. Jesus Christ, JD Eiler. I mean, just take a sip of your water. Keep those electrolytes up. Of course, thanks, JD. We didn't. Water cools your thirst? Holy shit, that's a new one for
keep
me.
Keep out of the sun.
He goes, we love JD Eiler. He's great, but I'm going to bite his balls. He goes, avoid wearing a hat when you're out in the sun. Most of your heat escapes from your noggin, so keep that puppy, have some breathing room. A visor or a headband will help you avoid some sweat. So now we're all supposed to walk around with fucking ice water and fucking visors like we're poker fucking players or something like that. And then here's a Fifth Avenue style tip. Get a good soak in a sauna or steam room a few times a week. Your body will build up tolerance to high heat and become more efficient at regulating your internal temperatures. So,
well, that's the cheap economical way of doing it, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely different than like get yourself a cold spoon, stick a little cold zinc on there and shove it up your ass or whatever it was. But it was not up your ass. It was
the
gooch.
Just brush your nuts on.
Was it dip your balls in it or spidey sense?
Yeah,
it's your spidey sense. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's a good enough. With JD Eiler, obviously, I'm kidding. So don't get your That was a good tip. The drinking water was my favorite tip, though. Thanks, man.
Drink water. Stay out of the sun.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's been a lovely episode. A lovely episode. Thank you all for listening. We shall be back again next week. Remember, if you've got any questions for us, or any tips or any feedback, any overrated, underrated, perfectly rated, you can send them to Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. So DM us there. Thank you very much. Bye for now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.